political speech. But she wasn't even involved in those actions. So that's where it's radiating out, is that they're identifying students who are vulnerable, and in most cases, black and brown, students of color, who are vulnerable in the sense that they have visas that could be revoked based on completely specious charges. And I feel horrible for her, as I do for Mahmoud, and the other students who are cowering in their dorm rooms right now, afraid to leave the building, because there are sketchy guys out front with big vans with tinted windows waiting for them. I can't overemphasize how frightening it is for our students to be attending a university, hoping to get an education, when the university is actually collaborating in their very peril.
In this last 30 seconds we have, Professor Catherine Franke, how would you characterize this moment in time? This moment in U.S. history?
Well, I think what we're seeing, and this is what's happening at Columbia and these other schools, it's just a small piece, is the collapse of a constitutional order that the Trump administration has very deftly exploited. There are anti-democratic elements in our constitutional system that this administration has very adeptly exploited and has put out these test balloons, as I've said, with universities and law firms. And what they're about to do next, I think we all have to be very worried about.
And we're going to continue.
As we saw the Berlin Wall.
We're going to continue this discussion and post online at democracynow.org. Catherine Franke.
This is KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. KBOO's Board of Directors meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland and online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Thank you for tuning in to KBOO Community Radio during this special programming campaign, All Thrills, No Frills, Volume 4. Now through April, you'll hear different marathons and series, all brought to you by our fantastic programmers, including specials for Black History Month and International Women's Day. If you'd like to check out our specials, go to kboo.fm/ATN.
Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. Today is Monday, the 24th of March, 2025. And if you are listening to this program, you are listening to 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and thank you so much for joining us today and for being a part of this endeavor. For those of you who are listening live who might have heard the end or the program before us, the program was Democracy Now, or as I like to say, democracy as it never was or certainly isn't now. But we will struggle to make it be. Lots happening in our world and in our nation today, and we will talk more about that this morning. First, I want to thank all of you for listening, for all of you who are remain supporters of KBOO in this era where there is a grab for power financially, economically, in terms of the media, politically, It is important for independent voices to be heard, and as long as independent media remains, it is important for you to support independent media such as KBOO-FM. Thank you all who are supporters. We appreciate it, and it is so important to maintain strong independent sources of information, sources of information. This morning, I want to begin by sharing a short test by an American journalist. Some of you might know him as Toure, who's an American journalist who's been featured on various programs as a someone who was interviewed. Toure has an interesting take on where we are as a society, and we will play that right now. It's a test, so get your pen and pencil out. It's a test on what type of society we are, and so let's listen to Toure. Get your pen and pencil out and complete the test, and at the end we will come back and we will see if you pass.
Are you not living in a dictatorship? Let's take a little test. Put a finger down if your government has declared certain people illegal, like, say, trans people or protesters. Put a finger down if your government has illegally arrested and detained people without actually charging them with anything. Like, put a finger down if your government has hyper-consolidated power in the hands of one person, the way Trump's executive orders have tried to do. Put a finger down if there's a cult of personality around your leader. Put a finger down if your leader is personally, financially benefiting from being the leader of the government. Put a finger down if your leader lies in public and then acts on the lies and people pretend the lies are true. Put a finger down if your leader frees criminals and prosecutes people who prosecuted those criminals. Put a finger down if your leader is threatening judges and ignoring courts. Put a finger down if your leader is silencing the media. Put a finger down if your leader is openly talking about circumventing the Constitution and taking a third term, because who cares about term limits? If you live in America, you just put down a lot of fingers. You live in a dictatorship.
And welcome to America, land of the free, maybe not. The journalist did a take, a somewhat, I would say, humorous take on who we are as a society. And if you had listened to the news I mentioned before the program and the threat on academic freedom, we realized that what he is saying is accurate. So what are some of the things that he pointed out as a sense that we may be living in a dictatorship? Certainly declaring certain people illegal, and that's certainly what the present administration has done, illegally arrested and detained people. That is a story of horror. And as more and more people tell about their friends and their relatives who have been illegally arrested, detained, it is a reality for too many people. Consolidated power in one person, and this new sense of interpretation of not only the Constitution but also of America history in terms of the consolidation of power, the executive power, certainly run counter to what we were taught in, well, some of us who in education about the United States in terms of how power is shared. If the leader benefits financially, and that happens in many, many regimes, and we certainly know that this has happened in America, because for too many people, politics is a good financial investment. So the leader benefits financially. Another point that Toure asked is, put a finger down if your leader lies, and the current administration, the current president, certainly is a leader in lies. Certainly, Torrey asked, if the leader frees criminals, and we certainly knows that, and persecute those who free the criminals, the takeover of the Department of Justice, and certainly all of us, many of us have had issues, problems with the Department of Justice in terms of how it has certainly been a force against people struggling for their freedom throughout the United States history. But certainly as we see now, and certainly there were some reforms of the Justice Department in the 1970 following the Church's hearings, where it was revealed and acknowledged how the Department of Justice, the FBI, overstepped their legal duties numerous times. And so after the Church's hearing, there were reforms of the Department of Justice. Well, those reforms that took place over decades, we realize they are being dismantled this very day. Put a finger down, he says, if the leader threatened lawyers and judges, that happens. Put a finger down if there's a concerted effort to silence media. That certainly seems to be what is happening. And as we heard earlier, the ongoing onslaught of what is happening in Colombia, the takedown of independent sources of information, of education, one can only question if this has happened to Colombia in New York. One wonders, certainly the president and his administration has had eyes on Oregon, Portland, and certainly Portland State University. We are familiar with the rebellion that took place at the Portland State University, as well as other colleges and universities throughout the nation last spring, but certainly what happened in the Portland State University. And one only wonders what will happen to that university and other university, both public and private. So those are things that we need to be worried about and need to be concerned about as we sleepwalk, I'd say, into dictatorship for many of us. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Some of you might have taken the polls and might want to reply. So let's go to our first caller this morning. Santiago, are we living in a dictatorship yet?
Well, I mean, if you were not if you're a non-white person living in America, then I would say that we have been in a dictatorship for hundreds of years. You know, I wrote a Facebook post last night. You know, it said every switch and lever that Trump is able to pull against the people of the country was manufactured and perfected in marginalized communities here at home and around the world via American foreign policy, in much the same way that Germany manufactured Lebensraum in Congo and Namibia before Nazis took power and unleashed Lebensraum on Europe. The Democrats and Republicans were lockstep in creating the mechanisms that are currently being unleashed on the people here in America, with many of those politicians perhaps foolishly or ignorantly believing they would never be used in the imperial core. So, you know, when we talk about how, you know, they're against the government is against anti-war movements, that's a lot of the reason why, because they're manufacturing switches.
Right.
So, you know, Chris Hedges talked a lot about that, how like a night raid in Fallujah looks no different than serving a false warrant in the middle of the night in like Trenton, New Jersey. Yeah. You know, they're because imperial, what we're talking about is imperialism and fascism being two sides of the same coin, whereas imperialism has to do with foreign policy, but that but then fascism is that for that same foreign policy turned inward, because essentially everything is collapsing and the ruling class is trying to grab everything it can on the way down. And we do I feel like we do have a chance to be able to stop this, but we got to stop pretending that you know that the people that the arsonists are going to help us put out the fire.
I want you to go back to a point you made earlier. I just want to make sure that we understand it, because I think it's an important point in terms of imperialism turned inside. Say that again.
I said imperialism and fascism are two sides of the same coin. Now, we don't call it imperialism. We call it foreign policy.
Right, yeah.
But it's essentially what we're experiencing right now is American foreign policy turned inward, because what's happening to the American people has happened to other people, not just in marginalized communities here, but it's happened abroad. I mean, it's happening in, you know, it's happening in Gaza. It happened in Libya. It's happened. I mean, they tried like over 700 times to assassinate Fidel Castro, to like untold amounts of millions adjusted for inflation. Yes. You know, they've tried to take out, I mean, America has been meddling in other people's business around the world. And now that the empire is falling, it has to meddle here to try and save itself.
Yes, indeed. Hey, thank you. That's powerful. And I think for many people, you began by saying that, you know, what's happening is certainly something that marginalized people of color and people throughout the world have experienced. The strong arm of American evil power. And now for many people who have not experienced that either internally or externally, they're feeling it now. And so
exactly,
welcome to our world.
And that's exactly it. I mean, you know, I have a comrade who lives in Iraq, and he's like, you know, there might be some minute differences in what the politicians do in the Imperial Corps, but he's like, the bombs have kept coming. You know, when we were going through that 20 years of bombing Iraq, it's like, you know, whether it was Bush, whether it was Obama, whether it was, you know, Trump, Biden, what have you, the bombs just keep coming. And we got to stop pretending that there is I would say if there's any difference, it's that Democrats are for social welfare and that Republicans are for austerity. But at the end of the day, whether you're talking about social welfare or austerity, it's all in a bid to keep the working class complacent or desperate in order to stop an uprising. And we're seeing it right now. People are upset, whether you're looking at Republicans, Democrats, or anybody in between. I think this is a great time right now for those who understand that they're trying to get you to choose between arsonists, that, you know, the real firefighters are the ones that they're trying to silence right now.
Right. Hey, thank you so much. And you reach a point in this conversation I want to continue in terms of next steps. So thank you so much for calling and for encouraging us to examine our history and to take action.
Not a problem, Cecil. Have a great day, brother.
You as well. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. Our caller, Santiago, was sharing some of their reflections on where we are as a society and making an observation that the pressure, the danger that many people are experiencing now is certainly not new to many peoples and countries outside of the United States who have experienced the brunt of American imperialism, of American brunt power, and that power has turned inward, and so that imperialistic power grab that we are beginning to experience, as our caller mentioned, that people are noting that, oh my gosh, it is happening to us. It is happening to my family, even though I may have voted for that person. And yet, this is where we are as a society. So where do we go from here? Certainly the power of what someone say, of this dangerous madman has been unleashed, and yet where do we go from here? What are our options? And that is something I want to examine with you all. So give us a call, 503-231-8187. If you were able to take that that poll, that quiz at the beginning of our program from Touré, who's just, you know, asking, are we living in a dictatorship? And some of the questions are, you know, are they declaring people illegal? Are they illegally arresting and detaining people? Are consolidating power around one person? Is there a cult of personality? Does the leader benefit financially from what is happening? Does the leader lie? Well, he certainly is the king of all liars. Does the criminal justice system turn upside down, freeing criminal and prosecuting those who have previously worked for justice, threatening lawyers and judges, and daring them to do their duty, silencing the media, independent journalists. All of this is happening under our watch, and what do we do for it? Well, there are things that are happening even throughout our society, and I would like you to share some of the challenges, ways in which people are resisting, ways in which people are challenging the society we find ourselves living in today. Now, this may seem like a strange quote, but I think it's relevant. I want to go back. I think it's important for us to find different ways in which we resist, different ways in which we try to interrupt this destructive machine, this machine of death, which is riding over all of us and our society. What are ways people are doing that? People are petitioning their legislators, both local and national legislators. People are demonstrating in public. People are writing letters, emails, creating mutual aid societies, standing on street corners, organizing political campaigns. There are many, many ways and many different things that people are doing. I think it's so important. And so I go back to a quote that I came across as a youngster, which I think is really important. And when I was young, I was attracted to and read a lot around what was happening around the world, including what was happening in China. And remember the Chinese Revolution of the last century, Mao, and there came a point where Mao said, "Let 100 flowers bloom in social science and arts, and let 100 points of view be expressed in the field of science." What they were saying was, Mao was saying, is that there are solution, I think, lies within us, and that there are many people doing many things. There is not, I don't believe, one response that is the response which will solve everything that we are in right now. But rather, I read from Chairman Mao, was the option that people have the power within themselves, within their communities, to create different ways of being, different ways of resisting, different ways in which we are able to challenge the powers that be. And we are seeing that in many, many ways in which people are interrupting the system. So, for example, you know, someone reminded me yesterday that people are often urged to write their congressional representatives or those legislators. And these days, we know it's easy to send an email or a text note. Well, those can easily be deleted, although they, you know, we're told that they are counted. It's a lot more difficult when you actually send a postcard, and you don't have to put your, you know, your return address on it, but send a postcard. It has to be delivered. It has to be delivered to the office. It has to be put on the desk, and it's a lot more difficult to get rid of, you know, 1,000 postcards than it is to delete 1,000 emails. So different ways in which people are challenging and are interrupting the systems that we are living in. So what are things that people are doing to make changes in our society? Give us a call and share either things that you are doing or things that people are doing. And, you know, as I am saying, let 1,000 flowers bloom, and some of them will bloom and do great things. Some will not, but all are needed. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Let's hear what our next caller, Janet, has to say. Good morning, Janet. How are the flowers around your place?
Well, kind of lucky the way the trilliums come up here.
Ah, yes. Beautiful.
I haven't heard all the earlier talk, but the thing I like to think about is winter never fails to turn to spring. It's a beautiful thought about flowers coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And besides that, we think in the global terms that how dark things get.
Yes.
Then it can get better, then the darker it gets. And we're dealing with some terrible times. And when I kind of go back to when I was little and my grandparents were immigrants, and my grandfather, he made the custom patterns to make suits in the garment industry.
Yes.
And my grandmother worked at the shirtwaist factory, and my grandfather, he died under a willow tree in the Catskills reading the Yiddish Yiddish newspapers my grandmother, she wanted everyone to assimilate and get educated.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a sacred thing, it's called aceite. I think that's Spanish word for sacred oil. And somehow there's a fly in the ointment right now. But spiritually speaking, when the nuns went to Auschwitz meditating and praying on what they really needed to do was to pray for the perpetrators. So in some way, if we can recognize how deep it is and that it's winding up on Ramadan, that the jihad does not mean go and look for an enemy outside of yourself, but to go within, reflect on that we're all... We're all human beings.
Yes.
And and good and evil are connected. So to look inside of ourselves and find the darkness, the fundamental darkness in life altogether is much better than the unraveling that's coming down in these little communities. Because safety in New York, you can go to a protest with 1,000 people, but in a little backwoods place, little black backwoods holler, that I've lived in, I've already experienced being a single mother and having some Nazis break into my place and put a knife in the counter and tell me I'm going to be sorry and try to respond to my children who are just getting ready for Christmas. Hmm. That the neighbors would say, well, we like those guys. We don't know about you. So although I really appreciate the Northwest, it's gorgeous, magnificent, that the times that people are that have the right pure heart and the pure mind to recognize that we need to come together.
Okay.
And when we are living in a situation of a divide and conquer, It's a difficult situation.
It is.
So let's get the fly out of the ointment. Thanks so much.
Hey, thank you so much. And thank you for reminding us that it begins with all of us and where we are and that we can make a difference. Thank you so much, Janet. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Let 1,000 flowers blossom. How are you working with your flower garden? Let's hear our next caller, Edie. Good morning, Edie.
Good morning. I didn't hear the first part of your show. Can you hear me clearly now?
Yes, I can.
I thought I heard you say, what are we doing, like with the legislature, or to improve our world? And I agree with Janet. It's very important to take accountability and agency for our own thoughts, our prayers, that we live in integrity of our values being the change we want.
Yes.
At the same time, that we don't blame the victims of systemic social systems that set people up. I am on my way to a friend's house, and we are going to carpool with a bunch of folks going down to Oregon legislature today. And what I'm going to be doing is introducing myself to two new to me state representative and senator, and go to my longtime beloved representative and senator from where I've lived most of my life, and to folks in the different parts of Oregon where I have lived, and hope to promote the idea that we're all interconnected and that we must be alert to not see things as just an either-or, all-or-nothing narrow issue, because they're all interconnected. And how I can talk to one person's priority, if it's Kathleen Taylor about women's safety and children, or it's Gorsuch about rail safety, or Gamba about environmental, climate, justice, and housing, I can show how they all interconnect and what we can do to have accountability for corporations, government, or police in one area, then have the services that we need in another, while at the same time working on the legislation and the policy implementation and funding, and changing the culture through our public education and the way we interact with folks.
Excellent, excellent. I really like how you are saying that there's, we need to get beyond the either or and finding common ground. And thank you for going down to the legislature. Is this something you do regularly? Are you with a group or organizations that have a legislature day today?
For about 55 years, I've been parts of different groups for human rights, environmental rights, tribal rights, and see the interconnectivity. But also, as an educator, I try to advocate for all students and families, you know, across the continuum of politics.
Yes.
I've lived in Portland, Bend, Klamath Falls, Eugene, Roseburg, Tualatin, unincorporated Washington County, Multnomah County, Portland, and Gresham.
You know Oregon.
And I was on the first firefighting crew of women in the state, primarily everything east of the Cascades or in the Cascades.
Yes.
So I've had different professions, and I've had 16 foster kids. And I've had disabilities from police brutality. So I can hopefully help people see the interconnectivity and bridge the different beliefs. And, for example, today, I mean, there are
We have to.
I'll go individually.
Yeah. Hey, thank you so much, Edie. I appreciate you calling and for the work you're doing and for reminding us that there's a lot of work to do and that we can find common ground and bring our different life experiences together and see where we can go. Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And thank you for talking to our elected officials. You're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil. Let's go to our next caller, Lenita. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Cecil. How you doing today?
I am well. How are you today?
I'm very well. I am a spring gardener.
Ah.
And my tulips are coming up. My daffodils are coming up. The crocuses are gone, and, you know, crocuses are the first ones to remind us that the seasons are changing. I have spring crocuses and fall crocuses. You know, they come up in the fall, and that lets me know that things are changing.
Mm.
And I like being a gardener because no matter what's going on in the world, nature has its own rhythm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's nice to see something that we have no control over do stuff. And even when we think we have control over it, still does stuff.
Yeah. So,
and it's great living in the Pacific Northwest. Spring gardener is like beautiful because we have the perfect weather for tulips.
We do. So what, how does your gardening prepare you for all the craziness around you?
Well, for one, it centers you when you're gardening, mm-hmm. and it gives you some peace.
Yes.
And it's a nice distraction from what's going on around. And it teaches you a lot about preparation.
Yes.
Like, you know, to have a beautiful garden, you have to prep for it. But even if you don't prep for it, things still happen.
Yes.
So it teaches you a little bit about you have no control over anything. And things you do have control over, just prep.
Just prep.
I love how people in America are prepping to save democracy now, like your previous caller. And
yes.
We're doing all kind of things early on. I just hope we don't get tired because it's exhausting. So gardening, although it is physically and physically exhausting, it's mentally peaceful.
It is. And there's a time to garden and a time to rest. So thank you.
Right.
Hey, thank you so much, Lenita. And
You have a wonderful day. Thank you for all your hard work, Cecil.
Thank you, Lenita. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO-FM. Let a thousand flowers blossom. How are you participating in creating a better world? Let's go to our next caller, Bart. Oh, Mark. Mark, I'm sorry. Mark, are you there?
Yes, good morning. Good morning, Cecil.
Good morning, Mark.
There's a time to be silent and a time to protest. How sad it is that judges, journalists, and protesters are denounced by the government, that broadcast stations like CNN and MSNBC are called criminal. These are... unquestionable signs of authoritarianism.
Right.
So we're living in a Kairos time, a time of decision, where everyone should be worried and speaking out at Trump's abuse of power. I want to mention two people that are speaking out.
Okay.
One is Ezra Klein, who wrote a new book titled Abundance.
Yes.
And he says there are two kinds of people in the world. One type is intent on deporting people and making them scapegoats, and the other it represents the California spirit of tolerance and anti-militarism. Now, I also want to mention Stephen Colbert,
Before you go there, hold on. I want to want you to say more about Ezra Klein, and you said the in terms of the vision, how do we overcome the different understanding of that vision?
Well, I think his main emphasis is that the left has failed in terms of policy.
Yes.
We've failed in terms of housing, affordable apartments, and we've failed in terms of energy reconstruction, and we failed to see the signs of fascism. Now, we're living in a time where when protest is universal, is throughout our country, and the great paradox is that our leader, is that Trump, doesn't seem to be capable of change.
No.
Capable of reversing, of admitting that the worries of Canada and Denmark and Panama and Greenland are real. The worries of Mexico. I'm very worried about the tariffs that could come into effect on April 2nd. All of the statements from Canada and the other countries are like prophetic warnings.
Right, right.
And they're sources of life for us, because we are going to go down more than these other countries are going to go down.
So what are examples of I don't want to say hope, of resistance or flower blossoming or things, or to ways in which people are confronting this reality that you express so well?
Well, people who emphasize that our supply chains are integrated and are complex,
yes,
are really voices of life. We can't just pretend that we don't need anything from Canada. That's such an arrogant statement. We have to see our interconnectedness. We have to discover some humility and recognize that other countries have an absolute right to exist, that we should be under the UN Charter and not the right of the stronger, which is the law of the jungle.
Yeah. Let me ask you, because in terms of this law of the jungle, and what I think is an apparent resistance, rejection of what we experienced coming out of the last century of World War II, in terms of an understanding of, as you say, the interconnectedness of all society,
yes,
humility, and the creation of the United Nation. Now there is resistance to that cooperative spirit in the U.S. government, and how do we overcome it?
Well, I think it's helpful to agree with Eugen Drewermann, who is a dissident theologian in Germany, who says that fear is the origin of all wars. So we have to take an international perspective.
International.
We have to, focus on the retired generals, on the obsolete world thinking that dominate both parties. That in our broken elite democracy, We as a people don't really discuss war and peace, and we don't discuss the great contradictions that make an abundant life impossible for most people.
So why do we not have those discussions?
Well, the donor class is the deciding class.
Mm-hmm.
So the conversations are framed, are limited.
How might we?
I think Noam Chomsky discussed this in his first book on how debate is always framed and the controversial realities that might endanger the elites are filtered out.
Wow! Yes,
yeah,
indeed.
And, you know.
So give us.
This is part of being in an elite democracy, you know.
So how do you, as we conclude, how do you see, what are ways beyond that, to get beyond that elite democracy, or is it something we want to do or need to do?
Well, I would love a Marshall Plan for journalists. Our information is so narrowed. And the publishers and the broadcasters are so intent on increasing their profit or just surviving.
Yeah, yeah.
That the voices are very limited, and people could all people could be editors and writers and poets.
And some people might have said, realizing that. In the last 20, 25 years, with the advent of the internet and social media, and
yes.
the collapse of newspapers, of those type of news organizations, that we're evolving into a different way of information sharing. But for me, the a challenge is that accurate information is becoming much more difficult to hold on to, and how do we measure it?
Well, we have to be protesting the false decisions, the scapegoating, the destruction, just like Stephen Colbert, you know. Emphasize that innovation turned out to be a mass chaos.
Mm-hmm.
What Elon Musk proposed was innovation and efficiency, and that turns out to be a mass chaos. The mass firing of hundreds of thousands of people.
Right.
So we have to avert the depression, which is, and hopefully we will stop this tariff nonsense.
Well,
and still have friends. That's my thought.
Okay, well, thank you so much. And you know, one final thought I had. You know, when you talk about this tariff mess that we're in, and it you know occurred to me that during his first term, he dismantled. NAFTA, and he came up with this new trade agreement with Canada and Mexico, and I guess he doesn't like that anymore. But
well, Canada is now selling its oil to the EU.
Right. Yeah. Well,
I'm just very sad. You know, anger, sadness, and outrage.
Yeah. And I think we all ought to be. Thank you for being sad and outraged and sad. And Mark, I appreciate talking to you and the wisdom you share. I mean, you know, in a matter of 7 minutes. You drop Jurgen Moltmann, Noam Chomsky, Ezra Klein, and Steve Colbert. Yeah, I know.
And it's all. Enlightenment.
Thank you so much for calling. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. We've been listening to some of you who've been sharing some of your thoughts about a thousand flowers blossomed. And we had from callers such as Lenita, who took it quite literally, where they talked about how gardening and working in the garden and flowers is life-giving, life-asserting, and so important. And we had people like our last caller, Mark, who gave us a very thorough analysis of the society we are living in, making the connections between different movements and the need to have to recognize we are all interconnected and that we need to lead with humility, reminding us to some of the ideals that came out of the last century, out of the last terrible world war, and the creation of the United Nations and various cooperative ways in which nations and communities are building. We also have heard from earlier callers who share their thoughts about where we are. So are the dark days, will they overwhelm us or not? We heard earlier this morning on the news about some of the terrible things that are happening in our society and the way in which academic freedom is being clamped down on, and it is approaching all of our institutions. And for me, a question is, you know, who is resisting? Are they all just folding? Are they able to stand up? And I think we know that there are ways and there are peoples and individuals who are resisting. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And as one caller reminded us earlier that they're going down to their state capitol and talk to legislators about things, finding common ground. What are things that you are doing? Let's go to our next caller, Francis. Good morning, Francis. How are you this March morning?
I'm good. Had a lot of birthdays this month. I am following what Bernie and AOC are doing. I think that they are onto something here as far as telling the truth.
What are they doing?
Well, they've had thousands of people show up at their rallies. They had, I don't know, 35,000 in Tucson and some in Colorado, and they're speaking truth to power. And I think, you know, we can get into the intellectual side of things, but most everybody knows fair is fair, and they know when things are not being fair. And I suggest continuing to advocate or support the ACLU. Because right now in the courts is the only place that the truth is still being told and listened to. I read an article in The Guardian by Jasmine Looney. She's a Canadian citizen who was held by ICE for 2 weeks. And the conditions that those women were in the prison system that is benefiting from warehousing people and alleged illegal is appalling.
Yes.
And I think that for anybody to see that and suggest that it's okay is they're not Americans as far as I'm concerned, or they don't believe in the American ideals. I know people who have spent a lot of time in prison, and I know that the prison industry is making money, put it that way. And the minimal considerations for human dignity are what is demonstrated in the prisons.
Right.
I think that that is a shame, and that's for all of us. I mean, all of our society has allowed it to continue.
We have,
and now that there are people who are experiencing that experience unjustly, without any any kind of due process at all just makes it even more extraordinarily appalling. Mm-hmm. I think if we just keep telling the truth, you know, and this whole thing about getting rid of DEI because somehow diversity and equity and inclusion is a bad thing now. The people who make the decisions in those corporations who do hiring and announcements of jobs and whatever, those people know what's right and what's wrong. And even if they don't have some rules telling them what's right and what's wrong, hopefully they'll use their good judgment and continue to practice diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Yeah, yeah. And I also like, you know, because as you suggested, it becomes a term that's tossed aside. You know, want people to say out those words, not the initial, as you said, diversity,
exactly.
Equity, and
there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
what is wrong with that?
So are you opposed to? Yeah, ask them. What is it?
What is it that you don't like?
Like,
hey. Know, are you a racist? I guess maybe you are, but maybe not. Maybe you just didn't think about it.
Yeah.
But I still, to this day, the bombing has started again in Gaza, and
yes.
nobody can justify to me whatever the cause is.
Right.
Dropping 2,000-pound bombs on babies, there is no justification in this world for that.
Yeah. No, there is not.
All right, then.
Hey, thank you so much.
I said my piece. Thank you much.
Hey, thank you for sharing your piece and continue to spread peace and love around. Thank you so much.
All right, you too. Thank you.
And today, and you're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and we began our program this morning with a short excerpt from the American journalist Touré, who was asking questions, are you living in a dictatorship? And as the various callers shared, they shared their perspectives and also shared things that they are doing to resist. There are many ways, and as I quoted Mao Zedong, let a thousand flower blossom, there are things that people are doing in many different ways. Today is March 24th, and it is also, I think, as we talk about justice, I think it might be helpful to remember that today is, on today, 45 years ago, Oscar Romero, who was the Archbishop El Salvador, was murdered while celebrating Mass in a hospital chapel. He was someone who was elevated to be Archbishop of San Salvador. He was initially a political conservative until the murder of a priest friend inspired him to become an advocate for the poor and the oppressed in El Salvador. He fought against human rights violation of the government junta, and eventually became a target of that society. He was killed while celebrating Mass in a hospital on today, March 24th, 1980. The United Nations General Assembly declared March 24th to be the International Day for the Right to the Truth concerning gross human rights violations and for the dignity of victims, in honor of the life and witness of who is now in the Roman Church, Saint Oscar Romero. Oscar Romero once said, "You have heard in Christ's gospel that one must not love oneself so much as to avoid getting involved in the risk of life that history demands of us. Whoever out of love of Christ gives themselves to the service of other will live." I remember the life and legacy of Oscar Romero, who advocated for the poor and the oppressed, who gave his life as a martyr. And in this day, in this world, in this society, when so many people are facing oppression and danger, and as we realize that we are living in an authoritarian society now, this is where we are. This is who we are. We need 1,000 flowers to blossom. You may not be an Oscar Romero, but you are able, as one caller reminded us, talk to your neighbor, to talk to your friend, to find common ground. These are things we need to do right now. And so continue to support independent media because it is so needed now. Continue to speak up, to be a flower of truth, of justice. And allow your voice to be heard. These are troubling times, yes, but these are also times of possibilities and transformation. Continue to support one another to continue to build a society of love and justice for all. It is hard work, but we can make it if we do it together. This is Cecil Prescott of More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. Take care of yourself and your community, and we will talk with you next time.
You are tuned into KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
Thank you for tuning in to KBOO Community Radio